And finally, this week, Hannah has been considering the impact of a move to the Big Smoke.
This week, we consider moving to the city, since Jeremy Eaton wrote in with this.
Do you have a stronger immune system if you live in a big city because you are surrounded by more people and their diseases?
So, do city dwellers have a strengthened immune system in the long term as they come into contact with more people with a greater range of bugs? For the answer, we turn to Professor Eleanor Riley from the Big City's London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine.
So, in principle, yes, people living in small, isolated communities may experience a more limited number and diversity of infections, and they can lack immunity diseases which are actually quite commonplace in other environments. And some classical examples of those were epidemics of diseases such as measles and smallpox in small Amazonian communities when they first came into contact with outsiders. But these days, human populations are so mobile that actually very few of these really isolated populations persist. And you're as likely to contract the latest strain of flu whether you live in a huge city or in a smaller town or village nearby. And that's because people move around between these communities on such a regular basis that they move the virus around with them. And we only have to look at how quickly the swine flu epidemic in 2009 reached almost every country in the world, including countries with really low population densities. And we can see from that that actually from the perspective of the bug, we all now live in a single global community, and our immune systems will reflect the fact that we're all exposed to very large numbers of infections.
So with frequent global travel, there's no rationale for rushing to live in the city since it won't boost our immune systems. However, pollution and stress from the city have both been linked with weakened immunity. Plus, there's studies that show that people who grow up in cities process stress differently and have an increased risk of getting mental health disorders such as schizophrenia. Moving out now to Pastures New, Pradeep Patel wrote in with this.
I want to know, what is wind and where does it come from? Not the type of wind you get from eating lots of baked beans, but the one that we feel in our face and see in the trees.
So what is wind and why is it with us? Let us know your thoughts by posting on our Naked Scientists Facebook page. You can tweet at Naked Scientists, you can email studio@thenakedscientists.com, or you can join in the live debate on our forum, which is at nakedscientists.com/forum.
That's Hannah Critchlow there.
Well, that's it for this week. Thank you very much to our guests, Derek Frey, Colin Russell, Sani Aliu and Dean Felsher. Thank you also to Kat Arney for joining me. The production this week was by Dominic Ford and Kate Lamble. And next week, we'll be finding out how weather forecasts actually get made and what early warning systems can tell us when extreme weather might be on the way. The Naked Scientist comes to you from Cambridge University. It's supported by the Wellcome Trust and the EPSRC. I'm Chris Smith, and thank you for listening. Goodbye.